WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The state Supreme Court rules against an Augusta County property owner in her fight to keep Atlantic Coast Pipeline surveyors off her land. And Corey Stewart is back. The Donald Trump supporter narrowly lost the GOP bid to run for governor, but he says he'll run against Tim Kaine for Senate next year. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, July 14th. Good morning. The Virginia Supreme Court has ruled in favor of the company developing the Atlantic Coast Pipeline in a lawsuit against a woman who sought to keep surveyors off her property. Hazel Palmer owns land in Augusta County along the route of the proposed natural gas pipeline that would run from West Virginia to North Carolina. The company went to court after she refused to allow surveys. She argued in part that because the company was organized in Delaware, a Virginia law allowing surveying privileges shouldn't apply. The court disagreed and ruled yesterday that Palmer's property rights don't allow her to exclude the surveyors. Pipeline spokesman Aaron Ruby applauded the ruling. Henry Howell, an attorney for Palmer, says he may ask for a rehearing on a claim the court did not address. Also, an outspoken supporter of President Donald Trump, who narrowly lost a bid to be Virginia's GOP candidate for governor, is now running for the U.S. Senate. Corey Stewart announced his Senate candidacy yesterday, saying he is the type of Republican fighter needed to unseat Senator Tim Kaine in next year's election. Stewart is a former state campaign chairman for Trump who lost to former Republican National Committee Chairman Ed Gillespie in the GOP gubernatorial primary last month. The underfunded Stewart ran a deliberately provocative campaign which included outspoken support for Confederate symbols to gain attention. He's promising to run a similarly aggressive campaign for Senate. Several other Republicans, including former Governor Jim Gilmore and former presidential candidate Carly Fiorina, have also expressed interest in running for Virginia's Senate seat. A Virginia Democrat has introduced a new bill that attempts to take the politics out of how congressional districts are drawn. Virginia Public Radio's Matt Laszlo has the details from Washington.
Virginia has two Democratic senators and a Democratic governor. Yet it's represented by seven Republicans in the House and only four Democrats. A new proposal would attempt to level the playing field by setting up an independent commission instead of state legislatures to draw congressional districts, while also having up to five lawmakers representing sprawling districts. Virginia Democrat Don Beyer is the lead sponsor of the effort.
Less than 20% of Americans approve of the way Congress is doing its job. A big reason for this is the incredible polarization, the hollowing out of a political center has taken hold of Congress over the last two decades.
Beyer's bill would also set up ranked choice voting, which allows voters to rank their top candidates, and then the low vote getters slowly get knocked out, and a voter's second and third choice then get counted. But Virginia Republican Rob Whitman says the bill is a pipe dream.
For those folks that say somehow it's going to be a nonpartisan effort, it'll never be a nonpartisan effort. At best, it'll be a bipartisan effort.
With Republicans in charge in Washington, the bill is unlikely to go anywhere. But Beyer says he's glad he was able to spark a dialogue on the issue. Reporting from the Capitol, I'm Matt Laszlo.
How should schools and teachers be evaluated in Virginia, and what role should standardized testing play? Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports those tests are about to have less of an influence in schools across the Commonwealth.
16 years ago, schools across the country experienced a radical transformation, a reform effort known as No Child Left Behind. It relied on state testing data to apply federal sanctions. Parents were able to abandon failing schools, for example. Virginia Education Association President Jim Livingston says No Child Left Behind created
a never-ending cycle of test and punish, test and punish, test and punish, which in reality set unrealistic goals for not only schools and school divisions, but also, quite frankly, for students.
Schools were expected to achieve 100% pass rates, for example, or be punished. Now all that's been done away with, and a new law is moving forward, the Every Student Succeeds Act. It gives states the ability to use data other than test scores to evaluate students. The Virginia Board of Education is now considering using chronic absenteeism as one measure, in addition to test scores. Chris Duncombe at the Commonwealth Institute says that might reduce the number of short-term suspensions and long-term suspensions in Virginia.
It would create a further incentive for schools to take a look at their school suspension policies and make sure that they're doing all of their best efforts to keep kids in the classroom.
Later this month, state officials will be conducting a series of public hearings on the proposal to use chronic absenteeism as part of the formula for evaluating schools. The Board of Education is expected to vote July 27th. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally, today's feature story. What do you get when you combine a classical pianist, a controversial presidential election, and the sun? Solar-powered nature music. WMRA's Faith Pinu has the story of a musician in Lexington who is taking inspiration from the sound and energy of nature.
What you're listening to is the sound of Woods Creek in Lexington. And those are the sounds of Jonathan Cook, a local musician who is making a living by bringing his classical piano training outdoors.
I constantly spent time in the woods and always wondered why my music and artistic life was separate from this deep love of nature and of environmental issues.
Cook's background is in classical piano. He earned a master's degree in piano performance from University of Michigan, commissioned a few of his own compositions for the New Jersey Music Teachers Association, and he served as musical director and organist at several churches. But a year ago, he decided to explore making music electronically. And then came the presidential election in November, which Cook says was a turning point that motivated him to bring together his love of nature and music.
What I do with my music has to be with renewable energy, has to be for an environmental cause, was a question I answered after the election. I did a lot of soul searching and questioning in that period of time. Knowing that renewable energy had made so much progress over the last 8 years, and that it was going to roll back, at least in terms of government support from the federal government.
His answer? Solar-powered nature music. It goes like this. First, Cook ventures into nature to collect sound. He has clips of the ocean beating the shore in Oregon, of feet crunching through dry grass in Michigan, and of birds singing right here in Virginia.
Yeah, I've recorded a fair amount in my backyard, actually. One morning I went out, I just took the trash out in the morning, and the birds in the backyard were exquisite.
Once Cook has a good collection of outdoor noise, he then composes pieces of music, incorporating the sounds of nature as though they were just added instrumentation.
It becomes a layer of the music. And what's really neat about that is being able to interact with that layer of sound with the musical layers I'm creating. So if there's waves, for instance, maybe you'll hear a big wave crash and there'll be a wave of a musical part. So I can essentially play a duet with nature.
Now, Cook certainly isn't the first or only musician to compose using nature sounds. But the final step in his process is pretty unusual. All the hours of gathering sound, composing music, and recording in one of his 3 in-home studios is powered through energy from the sun, which Cook collects via 3 solar panels in his backyard. And because everything is run on a solar-powered battery, his keyboard and mixing station are mobile. Cook has performed in a park, on a mountaintop, and most recently, during a Rockbridge community yoga class.
Well, yoga to me, I connect that a lot with nature to begin with. The poses, the feeling, the whole experience of yoga. I always visualize being out in nature when I do yoga.
That's Jessica Sullivan, a 52-year-old early education coordinator at Boxerwood Garden in Lexington. She attended the yoga class at Lilburn Downing Community Center, where Cook performed his nature songs. She says the connection between the music and yoga teacher Karen Stanley helped her to focus on her practice.
I really felt like the sounds of nature just brought me right back to where I needed to be for the practice. The type of music that he had working in there, no chanting or words, really helped with my breathing. I enjoyed the experience a lot.
Cook's solar-powered nature music has become pretty popular in Lexington. Karen Stanley, the yoga teacher, says that attendance at the weekly Rockbridge Community Yoga practice has been dwindling. But on the Saturday in June that Cook performed, 26 yogis showed up, more than double the normal class size. In addition to giving local performances and playing in yoga classes, Cook is working on putting out an EP entitled Salute the Sun. He plans to release it at the end of August. For WMRA News, I'm Faith Pinu.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy your Friday.